gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ah, yeah, the agony and the ecstasy of the home studio. Fred is here, and thanks to all of our listeners and viewers, he has been freshly de-skunked. Smell-o-vision, everybody. He smells delightful, doesn't he?
There's a little residual.
All right, but mostly I did. I tried the thank you, everybody. I tried the peroxide, I don't know, just Dawn and water and something.
Tomato juice. And
no tomato juice.
That just masks it.
Right.
For a little bit.
That's like the lavender poop spray that just makes it smell like lavender poop.
Yes.
Okay. All right, the other joy of the home studio, Jim, my best friend Wanda will be, and she who is stacked and gorgeous, will be stumbling down the stairs. She's a house guest.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be joining us next hour. That's a requirement for house guests now. She's also a brilliant psychologist, and we had a great talk with her about prison reform
right.
and the, us using the prison systems. As she's a prison psychologist in a men's maximum security prison in Northern California.
She has treated, what's his name?
Charles Manson.
Yes.
Right. Right. No, actually, she works in the segregated unit.
Oh.
So the guys that are like, Charles Manson is a little too crazy for me. I got to be separated from...
Wow.
Yeah.
He's too crazy for most of the criminals in the
right.
system. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. All right, so that, and then Judy Gold, our buddy, our pal, our comedian friend.
Yep.
It'll be Judy's show
up Judy.
In hour three. All right. Oh, in the meantime, I just got off the phone with the creepy guy that owns the show that's trying to come in for the life insurance money.
Oh, he's now creepy.
Okay, this is good. I found another way to have you killed.
He clearly has colluded with Free Speech TV. We're having, as you know, a $1,000 stalker contest.
Yes. Yes, we are.
This really was the phone call to him. This was no kidding. Just the really wrong. Was this wise? Seriously?
What did
Seriously
he say?
For $1,000. Okay.
Okay.
And I said, everybody knows progressive media is having a tough time. Is this? It's life insurance time, isn't it? And I said, and he said, I think it's kind of elegant. I said, nicely done, sir. No one will ever suspect a thing with the, you know, because Free Speech TV, well
Look
thought
like
of
an
everywhere.
Accident.
He can just slough it off on Free Speech TV.
I could use
it was
the
their idea. I had no idea that someone would kill her.
I could use the satellite picture of her house to help you find her.
And who knew raffling off her home address to any lunatic with $1,000 would end badly? Who is to know?
But I will make sure that he has lots of breakfast meat, which is important.
Nice sandwich.
That was his thing in
Denver. Yeah, Ron will probably be security. I'll pick them up and bring them. It'll be fine. too late, by the way, because a lot of people have warned me against this. Too late, because we've already said it.
Right.
For $1,000, you get a meet and greet. By the way, you two may get caught in the crossfire, so you ought to be a little more invested in this.
I think I could take him.
It's a meet and greet here in the studio with Mama and the Moogs.
I think I could take him.
Should we install a metal detector?
Well, I think there's going to need... We're going to blindfold them, throw them in a van, spin them around, frisk them, confiscate their cell phones or whatever.
Drive them circles,
no GPS.
Shove them through the doggy door.
Right. Dawn in Medford, staff, you can blindfold me if you want to, but I already donated $1,000 and I'm looking forward to seeing the studio. I promise not to harm you. I'm a big fan. Oh, sure.
I'm your biggest fan.
I'm your biggest fan.
Isn't that what John Wilkes Booth
said?
Oh,
hi, Mr. Man. I love you, Jim. I donated.
I just got out of the cock-a-doodie car.
Yeah, the president of Selena's fan club shot her. Okay. I donated $1,000 before. The first fundraiser to help get you back on TV so I can get a VIP meet and grow ticket to a sexy liberal show. Yeah, that was the last premiums. Now we have Stephanie Miller's swag or the opportunity to meet me. Hopefully there will not be an earthquake when I'm in L.A. for the first time. Dawn in Medford, Massachusetts, who apparently is going to... We could fake an earthquake. You can do the anchor. Ooh, earthquake. Everyone's got to go. Everyone's got to go. Get out. Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh,
shake the table.
Get out. Everybody out. Oh, gosh. Speaking of the earth shaking.
Yes.
Every time he talks or moves.
Oh, yeah.
The earth moves.
With John Fugelsang.
Good morning.
listening, children. I'm actually going to pay the $1,000 to come to your meet and grope at your house because I don't know if the listeners know, on tour, we're not allowed to look Stephanie in the face.
No.
So my hope is that if I spent $1,000, you would let me have eye contact
for at least
part of the 10 minutes.
No eye contact with Ms. Miller.
All right.
Good morning,
well.
Mr. Fugelsang. You did a spectacular job last week. I listened and the reviews are in. Where are my rock star cheers? John Fugelsang, right in this seat last week. Thank you, sir. Nicely done.
Thank you. It was a real pleasure. You had a great crew in there, and it was really, really fun to work with Tony again. And Natan from Free Speech TV was a prince. Those guys were all really nice. And I'm sorry about the crystal in your home. But other than that, I had a great time.
I am very disappointed about the glass egg. All right.
Well, you know, it's like Fabergé. I don't know. To me, I thought model glue would fix it. I didn't know.
By the way, you were here with sexy liberal Carlos L's Rocky. Amy
yes.
says, while you were gone, Mama, while you were gone, John and Carlos were so good. And because they wish my dog Smithy get well, I donated to Free Speech TV to say thanks. You see, I already am a podcast subscriber, $4.95 a month, it's about a year in advance thing. So I had to find another way to show my gratitude. By the way, Smith is feeling much better today. We hope he continues to recover from both the pancreatitis and hepatitis he developed 2 weeks ago. Goodbye! There's Smith! Aww. Goodbye! John and Carlos healed him.
Wow.
Thank you, Personal Comedy Jesus.
Hey, I had a blast. It was a really fun week, and we had a lot of good guests come in, and it was good all around. So thank you for having me, and go on vacation more often.
Oh, all right. I will listen.
In fact, people would like you to. In fact, I want to talk to you about that stuff because I have a petition here. People want you to go on vacation more.
Yes,
often.
Yes, listen. Here's the good news for you, John Fugelsang. There is either a very good chance I will be killed by a stalker shortly in the $1,000 stalker contest, or in the last earthquake, I have my bronzed ass. Right up behind me here, as you probably saw when you were here, that will likely kill me. And as Chris said, we wouldn't even have to miss a show.
That's
as long as it takes you to fly here from New York.
Actually,
that's true. I could conceivably get out there before Stephanie's cold, guys. So there's good news to this.
That's true.
Just scrape the brain matter off my ass.
Actually, I think it's
don't bother Mr. Fugelsang with that. Just
it's the
I don't want you to die right now because I don't want to run the risk of you being on the line to hell right next to Fred Phelps. It would be just too disturbing for me.
Oh, we pause. Fred Phelps. We barely knew. Oh, no, we did know ye.
Than we really needed to.
I understand the president has ordered all douchebags to be flown at half-mast. come on.
Fred Phelps did more to end homophobia than any liberal on their best day. When you could have millions and millions of conservatives looking at Fred and saying, I don't want to be like him. This guy did more for gay equality than just about any activist I can think of. He turned so many people off to homophobia that it's worth it, especially when you consider it most likely that God's a gay man.
Yeah.
I love that he got excommunicated for finally saying something even vaguely that Jesus might have said, like, maybe could we just be a little kinder to each other? Like, what? No! Get out!
And so he was basically killed by the own monster he created.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they demanded he repent for wanting to repent.
I know.
Yeah.
Exactly. Hey, in other anti-gay bigot news, did you see our old friend Bill Donahue? Donahue. You and I have both tangled with him, John, on the TV.
Yeah, he came on Viewpoint for like half an hour last year. I got him to admit that Jesus never said a thing against gay people in the final minutes of the interview.
Wow.
Wow, you got him in that scissor lock that you do,
mm-hmm.
that ecclesiastical scissor lock. I think he posed the most confusing hypothetical question to me ever on CNN because normally when you go on in these left-right things, John, right, you get caught in some weird hypothetical argument, but that one was the greatest. He was like, oh, Stephanie, if Madonna jumped out of an oven and made fun of the Holocaust, you'd support her too, wouldn't you? And I'm like,
no.
But she didn't know, huh?
Maybe if I were on acid.
What?
I support Madonna's right to do whatever she wants to say under the First Amendment, but
right.
I wouldn't buy her album.
Exactly.
Right. Yes. So this is a hilarious story. I don't know if you've heard this yet. So he obviously, Guinness, the beer, pulled out of the St. Patrick's Day Parade in New York City.
Right.
And Big A was drinking a Guinness right there on the TV.
Because they weren't allowing a gay group to march in the St. Patrick's Day Parade.
Yes, of course.
Right. Exactly right. And straight people don't like pulling out. That's why there's so many straight people.
So he launches a boycott of Guinness, and he said who he said was acting like a corporate bully. Yes, for standing up for gay people's right not to be bullied. Okay, so in retaliation, and no doubt trying to find discrimination, Donahue made a big stink about trying to get into the New York City Gay Pride Parade. He demanded organizers allow him to march under a straight as great banner. Much to his surprise, they did immediately.
Yes.
After you. Oh, no, right away. We'd be delighted.
After you. Oh, no, you first. Thank you.
And the head of GLAAD asked to march with him.
That's great.
So now, of course, he's...
Damn it! You forced me to be tolerant!
So now he's trying to weasel out of
That's
it,
right?
Right?
Oh, yes. God. He's saying they're forcing him to take a class, you know, a gay class on how to dance and all that. And no, it's a safety class that every parade participant in New York City has to take any parade.
Gay training. Safety training is gay training.
Throwing a fussy left here and there, but, you know.
A little, jazz hands, spirit fingers.
I would love to see him at our New York Gay Pride Parade, because I've enjoyed him at the Hoboken Straight Shame Parade for years.
Yeah, he said, their initial response was, okay, but you have to come to a training session. People have to wear LGBT paraphernalia. Now they're dancing. They're saying, well, we have our own rules and whatnot. Quite frankly, as a straight guy, I don't go to gay training classes. I'm pretty much of an untrainable guy when it comes to these things.
I don't need any gay training.
So said Marcus Bachman.
Oh, my. And he ran away with his heels hitting his butt.
I love it. I mean, you know, I have sometimes in the Sexy Liberal Tour, I like to make the entire audience give a warm welcome to all the Republicans in the crowd, because there's always a few captive husbands.
Yeah.
It would be so beautiful to see Bill Donahue surrounded by so much LGBT love, acceptance, and warmth, to watch his head explode that they don't hate him back, because that's what works. And I love this new argument we're hearing from the Bachmans and Donahues that gay folks and LGBT people are bullying straight people. That's like saying that the Freedom Riders were bullying segregationists, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, so the parade people said, we require all march registrants to have group leaders attend an event operation training. This is for safety of our participants. It's not unique to Mr. Donahue. Mr. Donahue sought prior approval on his group slogan, Straight is Great. We acknowledged his message and said the text was fine.
Yeah. So they have no problem with that.
Come on with it. All right.
I'm not arguing with you about that.
Oh, my God. I'm going to magically bring everything together, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Big Eddie drinking a Guinness on the set last night. And all of this going on. Guess what? I don't know if you know this, John. Lee writes, Staff, great opening act for Madison Sexy Liberal, which is next Saturday. Hey, Staff, nice get for an opening act for the March 29th Sexy Liberal show in Madison, for which I have a ticket. How did you get Ed Schultz to appear in Madison the night before your show to rile up the base? It's called Rally to Remember, supporting livable wages, safe workplaces, and strong labor laws. He is going to be our warm-up act for Sexy Liberal the next night.
Cool.
We're going to have Ed on to talk about this, I believe. I have to add, damn you, Stephanie Miller, I'd made reservations for a trip to Jamaica. Yeah, man. During the week of your show, before you announced the date, I had to change my reservations to February, and then I got to fly Screaming Baby Airlines. Thanks, President Obama. Listen, I told you, wait until you see the Sexy Liberal schedule before you make any plans of any kinds. Weddings, circumcisions, trips to Jamaica, just, that's all I'm saying. Because how perfect is that, John? As you know, Wisconsin, the birth of the labor movement and of Sexy Liberal. That's where Sexy Liberal was born.
I'm so thrilled to be going back to the Barrymore. This show sold out in about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So if you want to come see us, you can't make it into Madison. You got to come to Chicago or Minneapolis or Albuquerque. But I'm thrilled about that. I'm doing Ed's show tonight. So
I know.
I'll let him know he's a solid middle.
Thank you, John Fugelsang. 19 minutes after the hour. What's that, John Fugelsang said? Why?
Chicago, in the coming months, let's see where we can make progress together. Let's make this a year of... Let's make this a year of sexy liberals. That's what most Americans want.
That's right. Land of Lincoln, home of our president. On April 26th, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is making its triumphant return to Chicago.
It should read, tonight only...
Stephanie Miller's
triumphant return.
John Fugelsang, Carlos Alazraki, and progressive radio and television star Stephanie Miller will perform live at the world-famous Chicago Theater. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com and at the Chicago Theater box office. Don't miss Stephanie Miller's own twist on Chicago-style politics.
Politics ain't beanbag.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour.
Yeah.
Live April 26th at the Chicago Theater. Get your tickets now. Go to Ticketmaster.com.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah. And guess what, John? This just in. Mookage. Confirmed Mookage. Jim Ward and Chris LaBoy will be at the big Chicago show. How exciting.
Damn, that's going to be a party.
With
a bag of glass and a bag of Vipers.
Oh, my God. We have to get two giant bags for Jim to walk on stage. We'll get some rubber vipers. All right, we'll figure it all out.
We'll get some rubbers? What?
What?
Huh? Huh?
Vipers, rubber, snakes.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh, for God's sakes. All right, and then don't forget, the next one up, Albuquerque, right? John, it's in...
That's right.
Yeah, May, Popejoy Hall, and then June in Minneapolis. Get those tickets quick. All right, right back with more Fridays with Fuglesang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller. That makes me
sweat. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. What do we do during the commercial breaks? We, Okay, go ahead.
Okay, the color of your pants plus the last thing you ate equals your band name. I would be Blue Protein Shake.
I am Black Padwoon Sen.
I, unfortunately, am Black Muffin.
Okay.
And I'm sure there was a band that goes by that moniker.
John?
I'm Black Woman.
Listen, you can miss John Fuglesang's magical superset on
that's
stage.
That's an homage to his...
On that very subject. Yeah. Actually, I think I'm Black Pad Thai. I'm sorry, it was a little mixed. Okay. Wow. Yeah, you got to see... John Fuglesang's. It's not just comedy. It's, you're welcome for the orgasm. Derek in Madison. Steph, Chris, Jim, love you all. Never miss the show. Can't wait to see you guys a week from Saturday here in Madison. I've had my ticket since December. Just a quick correction. The Barrymore Theater released a couple of meet and gropes, John. They hold them till the last second. So you might try the Barrymore, see if they got a couple of floaties left, but I doubt it. Steph heads, that might be your chance. I don't know. Check with the Barrymore, but I doubt it. And now there's been a crush of women now that they know the subject of some of John Fuglesang's material. Is that a,
you know,
by
you
way,
can keep on
way,
making fun of me, but you guys have always made all these sex jokes, and I finally start making sex jokes on the tour, and now it's scandalous.
By the way, in a related story, did I just hear a cat behind you?
Yes, you did. I have all kinds of small beasts living in my home.
It's
quite related.
Is that the cat that you ride through in a stroller?
He doesn't ride it.
I have brought that cat out on a stroller, but he doesn't really like it too much. The one who liked the stroller passed away,
aww,
so the stroller doesn't get too much use these
okay
days.
By the by, fine Americans, if you would like to see John Fuglesang host this show instead of me, and who wouldn't, give $1,000 to Free Speech TV so that someone can come and kill me in my home. Freespeech.org. Or, wait a minute, where's the number? Hang on, I got it.
That's a long way to go, Steph. I mean, you know, you don't need to kill Stephanie. I mean, you don't need to kill Stephanie Miller. You can, but it won't necessarily get me to host the show.
All right. Well, I would recommend it. You're 877-378-8669. And also, there's Stephanie Miller swag. For $60, you get the coffee mug, John. $120, you get the Stephanie Miller Show coffee mug, messenger bag. And they will, you know what? The other thing is they'll be collector's items when it's the John Fuglesang show. And you could probably sell those on eBay. So for $240, you get the coffee mug, the messenger bag, the baseball cap. For $360, you get the coffee mug, the messenger bag, the baseball cap, and the Stephanie Miller Show hooded sweatshirt. For $1,000, a meet and greet right here in my home studio with me and the Mooks, and then lunch afterwards if I'm not already
dead.
Right.
I can throw in a lot of current stationery as well.
And I have, and I have current baseball
mugs. I can donate those.
I have talking little recurrent TV baseball hats in the garage. So there you go.
I still have Countdown with Keith Olbermann mugs in my place.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Ryle Flavin.
Your former future husband.
Not John's, mine. Right, thank you. Yes. All right. Now we've done all this folderol.
Yes.
And I save all the ecclesiastical items for the ecclesiastical MOOC, so we will talk to John Fuglesang.
Well, he has to go, unfortunately.
Oh, damn!
I'm sorry, I do. It's a busy day over here.
All right. You have to go on to your train of media appearances. I love you.
Hey, I love you. Remember, the only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good society that makes it a little less easy for bad guys to get guns.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love all y'all.
I'm
going to come on a few times next week to hype up our sold-out show in Madison.
Thank you, John. Nicely done. All right, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Your body is a wonderland, by the way.
Awesome. Thank you. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Oh, a slight correction. The color of your pants plus what you ate last is the name of your band?
Yes.
Jim has a correction.
Yes. It turns out after my previous breakfast at home, I had a handful of trail mix. So technically my band would be Black Gorp.
Okay.
Gotcha.
All right. Nicely. So noted. So noted. The correction is made. Oh, and some people online taking exception that Sexy Liberal was born in Madison?
Yes. Edward Tolliver tweeted, the Sexy Liberal show did not start in Madison. It started in New York City in a small studio downtown. I was there, he says.
That's all right. All right. You got us there. We did, Hal and John and I did a little experimental thing that was, yes, that's right, 1,000 years ago. But the first, like, official tour, the
Rude Pundit was at that first one.
Right. The Sexy Liberal tour started in Madison. The birthplace of the American labor movement, ladies and gentlemen. All right. And we are thrilled, obviously, and delighted to have Carlos Alzraki with us for the return next Saturday. And then Chris and Jim will be there for the big show in April at the Chicago Theater. Very exciting. Oh, by the way, Julie in Seattle, Chris, says, if I were you, a famous radio host who didn't have long to live because of a $1,000 stalker contest, I would make Chris go through all the podcasts and pull audio from famous people saying nice things about me so I could listen to them when everything was going dark.
And then I'll pass that along to Travis to do.
Right. Like yesterday when Diana Nyad started off by telling you that you're the smartest person on the radio and how much she likes the show and how she listens all the time. That was pretty cool. Yeah, get on that. Because you know, with my last breaths, I will be bitching at you about something.
Oh, I know.
I can't believe you didn't get the time at Lily Tomlin.
I think she might be a palindrome. Diana Nyad. Diana Nyad. Diana Nyad. Yeah, she's a palindrome. Like Bolton.
I should start arranging. Shouldn't I start arranging the audio for my funeral now? Just so that, you know, maybe I'll write a few thoughts, gather a few thoughts for Jim's eulogy. You can, you know, do the clips.
Great.
All right.
Your funeral will be a clip show. Awesome.
Although, as you know, I am hoping for death by my ass during the next earthquake in L.A., my bronze ass, which made an appearance yesterday on this, because it is very heavy and is directly behind my head.
I think your stripper pole might get you first.
You think?
Yeah.
Which would be ironic since I began my career.
At the Itchy Kitty and Reseda.
Right.
As a dancer at the Itchy Kitty and Reseda. You see?
Well, we actually did work in a studio that had a stripper pole in it.
Right?
We first started the show.
Another apropos thing. Let's see. Oh, Terry would like some fun facts, by the way. Steph, I'm considering showing my support for Free Speech TV. Please, freespeech.org, do it. It's Fun Drive Week.
Mm-hmm.
And dropping a grand to experience the Stephanie Miller Show up close and personal. Your offer, though, is quite nebulous. I have some pre-donation questions. When you say visit the studio, does that mean physically being led into the studio, or does that mean watching it from some closed-circuit security camera?
Oh, there's an idea.
No, we don't have that. No, you will have an opportunity to get right up in our grills. Also, would the visit include touching and hugging?
Computer says yes.
Sure. I would.
With lots of Purell afterwards.
You will be frisked first. Okay. I would like, although now we're encouraging Taekwondo experts that can hug me and snap my neck like that.
That's not really Taekwondo.
Whatever. I would like nothing better than to spend time on the floor rolling around with Max and Fred. Okay. He's there right now. When you say lunch, does that actually mean an after-show spin class? Yes, it could.
Oh, God.
If it does mean some event with caloric content, would it be your leftover sushi that no one else wants in the morning? It could be. It could happen.
The sushi that you left out on the counter all night long?
Turn off the light and see if it glows.
Yeah.
Jim will test it with his Geiger counter for Fukushima radiation. If it simply means a bottle of cheap Chardonnay, count me out. I'm a wine snob. All right. When you say with Stephanie, if I pay a bit more, would it be like pizza toppings? Say an extra $100 gets me 2 extra guests like John and Carlos? Can I switch out Stephanie and have Jackie instead? No. Jackie is much more expensive, trollop, than I am. All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Richard in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Richard.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was listening to the show. I've listened to this all the time. And
thank you.
Just wanted to ask you, if I am a historic Christian that believes that marriage is man and woman, husband and wife, does that make me a homophobe and a bigot and a hateful person? I just wanted to ask you.
No.
No, not under your church, absolutely not. But you really don't have the right to tell the government to keep loving gay couples from marrying.
I agree with you 100%. I've never had a dog in that hunt ever. I've never opposed. I don't oppose. Atheists for getting married. They wouldn't be in my church. I don't oppose other religions, Haitians, anybody else, either a voodoo priest or Haitians. Mormons or whatever. I mean, I have a belief system that I believe in,
right?
And other people have what they believe in.
No, if you don't believe in gay marriage, then don't gay marry someone.
I just wanted to hear, because I mean, I adore you guys for you know, your show's great. What you stand for is excellent.
Thank you.
But I mean, there's just certain things, like when your guest said that Jesus never said anything about gay marriage, he never said a word that marriage was going to be redefined. I mean, he actually defined marriage.
He never said a word about homosexuality.
No, he didn't. And being that he was an Orthodox Jew, a Torah observant Jew, I think that ends the debate on what he would be about when it comes to same gender.
But if he didn't say anything, you're just guessing what he would have thought about gay people?
I would say that's really open. I mean, that opens up just about, that means anything goes as far as Jesus never said anything about it. And you could see where that would.
Well, if it were important, don't you think he would have said something about it?
Well, it is very important. I mean, it's addressed throughout the New Testament. I just wanted to say that. I think
he would have brought it up once if it were important.
Well, I mean, without a doubt, the writers of the New Testament, some of them were his disciples, did mention it. And, you know, I mean, it was important to them.
Right, but that, Jesus, you know, never did. And that's what the religion is named after.
As a single gay man, don't you think there would have been a lot of gay speculation about him if he lived today?
Nero was married to two guys. Nero was married to two guys, and that didn't go so well for the Christian, you know, population in Judea at that time. So, I mean, Nero was married to two gay guys, Sporus and Antonius. So, I mean, it was very important to them. So I'm just saying we do have validity on our side to have our opinion, and it's not based on hate.
Right.
But the
religion is of Christianity is based on Christ, who never said anything about homosexuality. So.
Right, but he was an Orthodox Jew, and we know what Leviticus says about at least two gay guys. I mean, you could possibly.
We also know what it says about.
But the girls are fine.
But the New Testament.
As John Fugelsang always says.
The New Testament overturns a lot of the stuff in the Old Testament.
Yes.
Yes. And Jesus overturned a lot of the stuff in the Old.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So
there's that.
So that happened. No, I was saying John Fugelsang's joke is that, you know, God had the same policy as Vivid Video because he never says anything about the girls.
Yeah. Right.
So the two guys. We can all agree, icky. The two girls, hot. I kid. Okay. No, this was the one I was saving for John, but what the hey. Because you always have to see what's happening on the far right, this far right fringe this week.
Yeah.
The, let's see, Catholic, somebody is trying to, grab Bill Donahue's spotlight. Catholic Family and Human Rights Institute head, Austin Ruse. Said the hard left human-hating people that run modern universities should all be taken out and shot.
So he's not human-hating because he wants them all taken out and shot.
Shot.
Because that's what Jesus.
Yeah.
As Jim often says, who would Jesus shoot?
Clearly. University professors, absolutely.
Of course.
Yeah.
He was discussing the Duke University student who made headlines recently with the announcement that she is also a porn star. And he concluded that Duke's Women's Studies Department is to blame for the one-for-one student's decision to do porn. So... that's why everyone needs to be shot. Because that's Christian.
An idiot.
Oh, hey, speaking of shooting, you know what else we missed in the far right fringe this week?
What?
George Zimmerman was the guest of honor at a Florida gun show.
Ugh.
Where he signed autographs.
Ugh.
People, less than 20, but still people, actually did show up to meet him and get his autograph for killing an unarmed teenager and getting away with it.
Yes, but it was a black teenager. You know, so
right.
That they get you get a pass in Florida for
right.
that.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Okay. By the way, Megan Daum, I love in the L.A. Times, mm-hmm. great piece on because we've been obviously mocking the. It's not the. We understand the tragedy of the people that have relatives aboard this poor Malaysian Airlines flight. However, it's the circus around it, and no more circusy than on CNN. I think,
God.
But it's she writes her headline: Media judgment like Flight 370 has vanished.
Did you see Don Lemon suppose that it was a black hole?
A black hole, right.
And the person he asked the question to said, well you know, we
would have... That would suck in the whole universe.
Yeah. So, no, it's not a black hole. No. Oh, God.
And, but she, didn't she say something like, but, you know, but these theories are great.
Maybe he was just kidding. Maybe he was just, they're one of those people who say, well, you know, the Occam's razor people. You know,
or it could
the,
be some say.
The simplest solution is always the correct one.
No one thought of the black hole. Okay.
Could be.
Yeah,
maybe giant radioactive lizards.
Oh, and there's a zombie theory going out there on CNN, too.
No, really?
Yes.
Zombie apocalypse?
Yes.
Oh, this is awesome.
Or Coppolips.
Francis Ford Coppola presents.
Francis Ford Apocalypse.
She says it has pushed television news to new levels of unintentional self-parody. Commentators have used desktop model planes as props. Aviation experts seem mostly engaged in finding newer and pithier ways to say, I don't have the faintest idea. Meanwhile, reporters everywhere seem to have taken the view that no theory is too cuckoo for prime time. CNN's Tom Foreman, I missed this one, delved into what he called the very popular theory. It doesn't mean it's right.
Popular.
It's just popular.
Sure.
That tough Flight 370 went into a stealth mode by flying in the radar shadow of another jet. Oh, we trafficked in
that was a theoretical proposition by Admiral Lemnitzer for
the talk
Operation
radio,
Northwoods.
It's different. This is what we do.
Right.
We traffic in mindless bull. That's what radio is 3 hours a day.
We don't.
We are not news.
Yeah, we don't have the word news in our title.
Right. Okay. Let's see. What she says on Twitter, I missed this. Rupert Murdoch has been pushing terrorism theories since the beginning, tweeting on March 9th that the incident confirms jihadists turning to make trouble for China.
Absolutely certain. No doubt about it.
Right.
It's my opinion, so it must be true.
And that the plane was perhaps in northern Pakistan like bin Laden.
Or maybe it was a black hole.
Right. A few days later, rock musician...
He thinks bin Laden is still alive?
No, well, he meant like bin Laden
was. Oh, was.
Gotcha.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Past tense.
Or it could be at the bottom of the sea, like bin Laden is.
Sure.
Okay. A few days later, rock musician and noted recovery mission specialist Courtney Love tweeted.
Oh, God, this.
A photo of a body of water with arrows pointing to what she believed oil slicks and metal wreckage. It turns out Love is among millions who are looking for the plane by a satellite map website, TomNod.
Okay.
Even though her theory had been floated and ruled out by the time of her tweet, Love took it in stride. I figured I'd do my part, she told a reporter.
Okay.
We should all be such good citizens, Megan writes, because in this era of crowdsourcing, there's nothing a trained professional can do that a mob of Google Earth users can't do from the comfort of their sofas. You're in good hands when Facebookers everywhere go on hiatus from their cat photos and roomy quotations and take to posting theories about transponders and secret terrorist organizations. Besides, given the Malaysian government's record of retracting information just as soon as it's released, isn't it entirely possible that Love and Murdoch are just as likely to solve the mystery as anyone?
Yeah.
It really is like anyone can play.
Well, the 100 monkeys theory.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
Is it 100 or 1,000?
Right.
That they're going to accidentally...
But she says,
Shakespeare.
Which we mentioned this yesterday, even plane crashes that happen right before our eyes can take years to fully investigate. A situation like this one, in which there's barely a who, what, and when, much likely a where and why, defies quick answers. It asks us not only to be patient, but to accept the possibility that we may never know what happened. And for a culture that's not only addicted to information, but expects to have its questions answered instantly.
Immediately.
That's intolerable.
Yeah.
So we remain glued to the saga of Flight 370, filling the gaps in our understanding the same way television networks fill their airtime by spreading crazy theories, speculating about tiny blobs on satellite images, and just generally pretending we know what we're talking about when we obviously have no clue. We can't get enough precisely because there isn't enough.
Yeah. Well, until you get the black boxes, which are really orange.
Right. There's another
it's all speculation.
Right. At least we admit that we're talking out of our ass all day.
Exactly.
I mean, I love when I got one huffy email. You guys don't know what you're talking. I'm like, I said I don't know what I'm talking about. Am I a pilot? Like, I'm not an expert in whatever subject comes up. Okay. As the TV correspondents play with their model planes and magic maps, you said this yesterday, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
There's another significantly bigger news story, Russia taking over Crimea.
Yeah.
Ukraine's crisis still seems overshadowed in many outlets by this invisible plane. It can't possibly compete unless those talking heads on cable news can get some toy soldiers.
Yeah. Army man.
If Don Lemon gets, you know, laying down guy or bayonet guy, maybe we'll see a little.
Or if he gets lucky and gets parachute guy.
Right?
Because he didn't come in every bag you got.
I wonder if he's involved in the missing ghost plane.
Or, or leg melted by a magnifying glass guy.
49 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
God, what did you have for breakfast this morning, Carnation Instant Bitch?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Little ditty about Jack and
Stephanie Miller.
Two American kids growing up in the heartland. Jackie gonna be a football star.
Steffi.
Steffi Tom backseat of Jackie's car.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 54 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Ted in Chicago. Hi, Ted.
Hi, Stephanie.
Yes.
I got to let you know, I really think that aircraft may be in Area 51,
mm-hmm.
or the Somalis got it.
The
Somalis?
Somali pirates.
Yes, now they're stealing airplanes.
Oh, okay.
And I think they're all in Somalia now.
Have you been to the Billy Goat Tavern already this morning?
I'm headed that way.
Oh,
how did we know?
That's my boy. Okay. Wait a minute. The
Somali pirates
hijacked it to Area 51?
Somalia is a really long way
away. Yeah,
it's
like on the other side of the planet.
Yeah, it's on the other side of the ocean from...
Okay. Nice theory, but...
I assume he means... Real Somali pirates, not the ones
right.
that just played the actors that played them in the Tom right, Hanks
right.
movie. But
it would be like if, you know, Japanese pirates were off the coast of California.
It's
a long way.
Avast to your Land Rover.
Yeah.
Sorry,
really?
That was Chinese.
Okay, Friday. Yes, we're sleepy. Oh, okay. What was I saying? Oh, I didn't know if those two were connected or they were alternate theories, Area 51 or Somali pirates.
Somali pirates at
Area
51.
Oh.
Who went through a black hole to get to the other side of
right.
the planet simultaneously while
okay.
Fixing Courtney Love breakfast.
Widokly. By the way, the debris may be like shipping containers, everybody. Just everybody gentle down.
It's a busy shipping
right.
lane.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bobby, that seems more plausible, actually.
Yeah. Yes. Bobby in Oregon. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Bobby.
Hi, Steph and gang.
Hello.
Hello.
I'd like to correct something that the caller before last said about how Jesus' disciples wrote the New Testament.
Yes.
And that's not true. The first written record of Jesus occurred hundreds of years after he left the planet. The writers of the Bible wouldn't have known Jesus of Nazareth if they bumped into him on the street.
Right.
Okay.
Right. There were not contemporaneous accounts.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So there's that. All right. So what we were saying, the mysterious debris near Australia... You know what? It may be just Somali pirate garbage, because they are notoriously litterers.
They are. I saw Captain Phillips. I know what goes on.
Right? Throwing stuff willy-nilly. Done with an In-N-Out burger. Boom! Into the ocean. Horrible. Most of the missing Boeing 777 would sink after crashing into the ocean, but a floating object spotted off Australia could be the X that marks the spot. This could be it. The debris found in southern Indian Ocean does seem to be consistent in size with parts of a Boeing 777, and the location puts it within the limits of the range that could have been reached by flight. A lot of coulda, shoulda, wouldas
mm-hmm. yeah.
in this story. Anyway, but as you, Chris just said, it also is a busy shipping lane, and they're saying it could be.
Really, but the only things that I could think would float would be like the seat cushions. And,
right.
The wing's not going to just sit there in the ocean
right.
and float.
Right.
The engine's still hanging.
Especially if it was full of fuel.
Mm-hmm. Right. Kathleen in California. Hi, Kath.
Hi.
Hi.
Howdy, everyone.
Thank you. You too.
I don't have a theory about the plane. I have a complaint about the coverage of it.
Okay.
I see smoke screen because the conversation before this happened was the Keystone Pipeline, and it's tick-tock until the decision.
The Koch brothers.
The Koch brothers. Of course.
It's just totally taken away the conversation and educating the public.
Right. A coincidence, right after we brought Ed Schultz around on the Keystone Pipeline, and then what? Ghost plane, 24/7. All right, here's the Australian Prime Minister. Here he is, Tony Abbott, the Australian Prime Minister. Tony Abbott, the
Austrian. The task of locating these objects will be extremely difficult, and it may turn out that they are not related to the search for flight MH370.
All right, then. Another development that's not necessarily development. We'll keep you abreast of all the continuing non-developments in those planes as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Uh-huh, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. It's time to show them because my best friend's here. Welcome to Steffi's Playhouse.
I'm trying to use that.
Why, look, it's a house guest. Who's here? Dr. Wanda.
Good morning, Steffi.
You have to get right up on the microphone.
Yeah,
right
there you go.
Right up on it, okay.
There you go.
I can do that.
You said you miss Jim's character, Squeezy McField Pants. Oh, he's back whenever you show up.
Oh, my.
Oh,
hello,
my. Hello, Dr. Wanda.
Yes, he is helping me adjust my microphone. It's going to be where to plug in the headset.
Yeah, it's showing up where to plug in the headset.
All right, kids, we've had my very bestest friend. How old are we? Is it 30 years? Is it 30 years, best friends?
Plus. Plus.
We went to USC together.
You did?
Oh, my God. And Dr. Wanda is a brilliant psychologist. She is a psychologist in the men's maximum security prison in Northern California.
How about that? Yes.
Yep.
Why?
Yes.
Just for the dating possibility.
Yeah. Yeah. The girl most likely to work in a men's maximum security prison. Yes. Wow. He voted in high school.
Right.
Yes. Exactly. But we talked to you last time. You were here about obviously there's been a lot of articles and talk about how we're using the prison system as a mental health facility.
Right. Yes.
Which is really a tragedy.
It's insanity. It's like what we've done with emergency rooms, using those as a general doctor visit. It's, it's better than nothing, but it certainly isn't the first choice of where you get responsible and early preventative care. It really is akin to using our emergency rooms for general visits.
And we were saying earlier, you have, I don't know if you still are, in the segregated unit. Those are the people that are too crazy to want to be around, like Charlie Manson and stuff.
Well, actually, now I work in the sexually violent predator unit. So,
isn't that another dream come true?
Yes, yeah. Again, girl, most likely to.
Right.
Now it's really, be careful to say what you won't ever do. That was a population.
Right.
Usually that's the population that the rest of the prisoners do not want to be around.
Right.
And that's why they're in what's called the sensitive needs yard.
But would you say do you actually treat them? Can they be treated? Like what do you actually have sessions like you'd have with a therapist?
You do have that. We actually have a whole mental health department. And what's interesting is that we have a whole mental health department in the California Department of Corrections because of a lawsuit brought by the prisoners that saying that it was a cruel and unusual punishment not to offer them mental health care in that setting when they had no other alternative.
I know you are a brilliant psychologist. Is that not difficult as a human? Do you have to just kind of maintain that doctor kind of and the 40th time you stabbed her, you were feeling mommy issues or
There is that whole section. What's amazing is that there is that section where you have people who have done really heinous, horrible things. And then you actually also have people when we had the third strike law that literally, they stole a pair of tennis shoes for the third time.
Right.
Or they're mentally incompetent and couldn't keep the terms of their parole. So it really ends up being that complex human soup that it's not just a one-dimensional problem. And therein lies the challenge with anything dealing with human beings.
Right. Right. I can't remember when, I don't know, it was a long time ago we were talking about one inmate that was sort of like, because, you have to assume like you're like a normal therapist that someone would go to. And I think the guy was talking about this, his victim's sister. And she's like, she won't talk to me anymore.
I don't know why she doesn't want to.
Oh, no, it was his wife. He had killed her family. And
right.
He was like, she won't talk to me. I don't know what is her deal.
really could not understand that. And,
right.
and there is the true sociopath mm-hmm. and the true right. narcissist, which you see a lot, you know, not only within prison walls, but outside of prison.
In politics.
In politics.
Yeah.
And heads of corporation. I mean, honestly, mm-hmm. I think we're living in the era of the sociopath. And a lot of
them, don't I know it?
Yes, you do know it.
And we were having a little girl slumber party yeah. about various people in our lives. That we've expressed disappointment.
Yes.
Disappointed.
Here's a valuable tip.
Disappointed.
Brilliant psychologist Wanda Munkleis. She said, it helps if you didn't have the bar that high for them in the first place. It's like, you know what, you're a hole. But you know what, you've always been a hole. And so
yeah.
you're slightly more of a hole than I thought
She's
you were.
Right.
But I, the bar wasn't that high, so.
Still disappointing. This is for those who hold out hope for the higher part of human consciousness.
Yes.
But, and it, but it really is, when you look at the era as a sociopath
right.
in politics, as a squeezy nose so well, that it really is a high impulse control sociopaths that
right.
are not behind bars.
Right.
And yes, the prisoners...
Been there.
Been there,
dated that.
Several times. Dated that, business partner that. Sometimes, you know, they're in every aspect of our lives. So even though, you know, those behind bars are more sensational
yeah.
and more extreme, and yes, the one patient that I had a hard time explaining to him, he loved my eyes, so he envisioned that he would just be safe if he had them around his neck.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
and,
right.
Okay.
Sure.
Oh, my time for my lunch.
Yes, yeah, that's right. You do realize that they only have that glow when they're in my eye socket.
Wanda has her clipboard. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Security.
Yeah. How would you like your hemlock?
Wow.
Tarzine. Yeah.
Tarzine. This is my favorite
yeah.
thing is they do actually have a take your daughter to work day
yep.
at the prison.
Oh.
Where she works. Yeah.
Bad idea.
That's totally an episode of Arrested Development.
Yeah.
They had take your daughter to work today in the prisons. And
right.
all the guards brought their daughters.
She has to wear a stab-proof vest. So she's like, Tess, put your stab-proof
yeah.
vest on and let's walk
yeah.
quickly through the yard. Don't make eye contact.
Yes, sir. The thing of it is like a miniature city. And
yeah.
it is, you know, with all the sensational stories aside, and there are people there for very good reasons, and there's also people there for doing things that, you know, look
three
at good
out.
Old Dick Cheney, you know,
yeah.
probably one of the biggest mass serial killers in history, and
mm-hmm. Ooh.
Not behind bars.
Wow,
now we're getting politically. Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's true.
Well, no, it's true. Speaking of which, let's talk about pathological liars. Not that that's
yeah.
connected at all to Dick Cheney in any way. What motivates that pathological lying?
Part of it is a combination of being a true sociopath that really loves to not only lie, but gets pure pleasure and enjoyment from lying to you, getting away with it, and getting to and being out there. I mean, look at so many, like Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld and all the banksters and all of that. The reality is,
yeah.
you know, that's an ego boost to them.
Yeah.
I can not only...
I got away with something.
You, oh, exactly.
I lied to them and I didn't know it.
And I got away with it. That's
mm-hmm.
that's a part of it.
Yeah.
If you notice, it's only when they're caught, and even then they won't admit to
yes,
it.
Yes, I have no experience with that at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, not at
in
all.
Anyway, on a personal level.
But you see the pleasure factor of it.
Yeah.
That's actually their fun, enjoyment. It's like a sick game. It's like when
yeah.
they used to use, you know, human beings for human chess pieces and... You know,
yeah.
when you're out of the game, you got your throat slit kind of thing. You know, it really is barbaric, and there's
Wanda's taking a dark turn this morning, and
yeah,
I like it.
Been
watching Game of Thrones.
That's right, I was.
That's the Wanda laugh.
Yeah.
Yes, I was, actually.
We have to have her on. Why? Because we mostly had what we've been doing for 30 years. We had girl slumber party, you know, bouncing on the bed, drinking
right.
last night. And this was my show prep, pretty much.
That's right.
Pillow fights.
Yeah.
Pillow
in negligees, Jim.
Yeah.
In silky negligees. Hey. Pillow fights.
Fuzzy little heel slippers.
Doesn't ever do anything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about the psychology of ghost plane. We were talking about a great piece in the LA Times about people. I mean, just all these crazy everything, conspiracy theories, how people are filling airtime. Because we, you know, people, it's driving them crazy. They don't know. And so it's like they're filling the void with, you know, that's
with
the
more
thing.
Void.
Right, with more void.
Got to fill
and
in
now,
the blanks.
More void.
And more. You do. Human beings do not do well with anything that is unknown. Yeah. And so if we have an unknown, we will try our best to fill in the blanks, mm-hmm. not always accurately, but it's better than nothing.
Right. Right. I think we had a guy, what's already this morning, Chris, we had a guy, I believe he was saying, I'm not sure if it was connected, but he said Area 51 and Somali pirates.
Mm.
So I don't know if Somali pirates took the plane to Area 51 or it was...
And then flew it into a black hole.
Right. Right. Exactly. All right. So, yeah, I think that that is part of it, is people just, it almost becomes like this fun kind of parlor game. But then you also think of these
families. Colonel Mustard.
Right.
In the pantry.
In the pantry. But then you feel horrible for these, for the families, because, I mean, that's got to be... That's got to be horrible, and not knowing, right?
Then not knowing is horrible, and these are your loved ones. And I think that's where we kind of, as human beings, we are very paradoxical in nature. We have this wonderful higher part of us that is empathetic and compassionate and feels everything for everybody else. But we also have kind of this voyeuristic, where it's not quite real. It's like you're watching something. It is Game of Thrones, or it is a dramatic venture like Survivor or one of these so-called reality shows. I mean, there is a part of
Naked and Afraid.
Nature.
Have you seen Naked and Afraid?
I have not, but I...
You've seen me Naked and Afraid.
Yes, we've been there. Been there, done that.
Some people naked should make you afraid.
That's true.
That's why you're afraid, because they're naked.
Most people in nudist colonies.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah. What else was I going to say? I think now is the time that I want to salute you as my best friend, because we were saying we don't trust anyone in the world anymore except each other. We're getting ready to get a compound somewhere. Because you do. In times like this, you trust, like, longtime people, because you just, what's the saying, Jim? You know, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean people aren't out to get you.
Who told you that?
Right? See, you will never know who told me that, and that's my point.
It's true. Trust is developed over time, and it's very easy. I mean, look at a lot of go back to politics. It's very easy to say something, but to sustain it over time and to actually practice it, it is more challenging. So there's a value. I mean, you
could
can't
you say a few
that.
Words about what an amazing friend and person I am?
Yes, I would like
how much
to
you love me.
I would like to say a few words about that. Stephanie Miller is the most wonderful human being. She's loving and kind, always has wonderful intentions, and she truly cares about other people.
Aww.
And she has a big heart.
I was just kidding. Dr. Wanda is the prettiest and smartest psychologist and the best friend
in
the whole world and the best mother ever. I love her.
I love you too, sweetheart.
And you're stacked. Okay.
God was good. God was
Thank
good.
Thank you, Dr. Wanda. Back upstairs now.
All fun right. place.
Oh, maybe we'll get my nephew up. My nephew. Maybe we'll get my nephew up next.
I got Wade Collier.
Yeah.
My nephew played one of the holes in Walter Mitty that fires everybody.
Oh,
he's
really?
He's a famous actor.
That.
He's a famous actor and writer. Maybe
cool.
we'll go see. Go wake
I'm
him up.
I'm gonna go jump on Polly and get him waked up.
Go wake him
he
up.
He usually
he's
doesn't
next.
Wake up until after the show. That's
right.
when we first see him.
Right.
I'm
we need
gonna
to roust.
Go. I'm gonna go roust him up.
Go roust him up. All right.
Are you renting a hotel for wayward people
yes,
here?
Yes, we are.
This
is the beginning of the compound. Who are we kidding? This was the first step, getting the studio.
You're running the Grand Budapest Hotel.
I need guests and stuff. He's Playhouse. All right. Thank you, Dr. Wanda.
You're welcome, sweetness.
18 minutes after. After the hour, kids, she's a sexy liberal, obviously.
That's right.
Speaking of sexy liberal, don't forget, Madison sold out next weekend. Albuquerque is up next at Pope Joy Hall. That's going very quickly, by the by.
Dear Republicans, this coming election year, progressives everywhere want to thank you from the bottom of our bleeding hearts for being you.
Go!
From your war on women, thanks for pissing off half the country.
Oops.
To the government shutdown, absolutely brilliant.
You must be stupid.
We'd send flowers to each and every clown and carnival barker in your broken, dysfunctional party, but instead, we're throwing a party. On Saturday, May 10th, the world-famous Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming to Albuquerque, New Mexico for some good old midterm mocking. Stephanie Miller and her sexy liberal players will perform live on stage at Popejoy Hall. Tickets are available online at unmtickets.com. Don't miss the sexy liberal Schadenfreude.
What the hell is that?
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, May 10th at Popejoy Hall in Albuquerque. Go to unmtickets.com.
All right, yay. And yay. Then don't forget June 7th at the State Theater in Minneapolis. All those tickets going very, very fast. 20 minutes after the hour.
Good God.
Jim's pants are tight now that Wanda was here.
So are mine, quite frankly.
I had to, help her insert her headphones.
All right, Jim. All right. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Julie writes us, Steph, wow, what a gorgeous psychologist BFF you have. Her hair is amazing. have you asked her what she thinks of the Calling All Psycho Fans home address premium?
Ah, well.
The free speech he's giving away. Yeah, and Rocky Mountain Mike said, I hope Wanda doesn't end up treating whoever gives $1,000 to Free Speech TV. Come to the home studio to meet and greet Mama and the Mooks and who knows what else. Okay. Denise, a love letter for you, Jim. Denise from Ohio. Steph, I thought Jim was. I thought Jim was being dramatic when he was doing the LA Reporter earthquake thing till I saw the real thing on YouTube. OMG, I almost fell out of my chair when I saw those yahoos. Once again, it shows I did never doubt Jim Ward's impressions. You guys are a hoot. Well, Jim's a hoot. I'm more of a panic. You're kind of a.
A lunk.
Yeah. Yes.
To Chris Schauble's defense, it is a little disconcerting when it happens.
And when you have heavy lights over your head.
Yeah.
Right.
Like Kent Aftershocknik. But just that still shot is, I can never get that out of my mind.
Kind of funny. I'm just saying. We were just,
technically,
it could be that we're just
be pointing down.
Right. Yeah. I know. It's like earthquakes are coming from the sky.
What?
Yeah, but the things that are shaking are above him.
Right.
So that's,
there you go. Yeah. Okay. I'm just saying, either we were just old and tired, but we were like,
whatever.
Play compare and contrast on YouTube. We were like,
Natan's the only one has to worry because he's actually under one of these lights.
And even he didn't react. He's cool as a cucumber.
Yes, he is.
Cool as a seed inside a cucumber.
This is British soccer announcer that does all those silly analogies.
Right. Okay. Back to Ghost Plane.
Ah.
Todd in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Todd.
Yes, good morning, Stephanie.
Hi.
I after a conversation with Dr. Wanda, if the $1,000 contribution includes all the swag and the slumber party, then I'm in.
With the silky negligees, with us having pillow fights on the bed?
Yes. Mm. But I called because I hate to take the show backwards, but I'm trying to visualize the Somali pirates as hijackers of airplanes theory, and all I can see is the Somali pirates pulling up alongside that airplane in their airplane, and opening windows, throwing out grappling hooks,
right,
and then boarding the plane.
Sure.
Right.
Arr.
Exactly.
Arr, me matey.
That seems logical. That's what I was thinking, because they're normally on water, right? So do they have one of those, planes that can take off in water? I don't understand where the Somali pirate thing came from, but
I don't know either.
Yeah.
Somebody saw the movie, and then Captain...
Oh, I know! Somali pirates!
What?
Yeah, still in his next Netflix queue.
Is that a grappling hook on the wing? Yeah. What the hell? Okay. The Australian Air Force guy, Air Commander.
Quite simply, it is credible enough to divert the research to this area on the basis it provides a promising lead to what might be wreckage from the debris field.
Bonza.
And apparently, when... search planes can take off from Perth, it takes like 4 hours to get there, so they only have 2 hours of search time before they have to fly back to Perth.
Right, and they had really bad weather yesterday and fog and all that. But it's interesting,
Perth,
you were saying...
Perth is the extreme western part of Australia.
Perth is the most geographically isolated city in the world.
Yeah. Because it's desert for miles.
Exactly. You were saying yesterday this seemed more credible than other stuff because you said it's satellite imagery. Mm-hmm. It's not like just, it's not Courtney Love on Google Maps.
Exactly.
It's actually...
Experts are looking at it and saying, yes, that does look like something.
Right. Except today they're going, but it could be shipping containers because it's a busy shipping lane. So,
I think that was said to not get people's
hopes
up.
That would be Somali pirates, though.
Yeah.
Shipping containers.
Maybe
yeah.
it's, that's what I said. Maybe it's Somali garbage. They're notoriously sloppy.
Sure.
Pirates, right? Pirates have no, they don't
it's
care.
It's a big Jamba Juice.
It's a bunch of discarded eye patches and parrots.
Yeah. Bottles of rum.
Right. So Captain Jack.
Hardtack.
Right.
So,
couple of, peg arms, what do you call it?
Hook.
Peg leg.
Right.
peg legs and hooks.
Right, exactly. 29 minutes.
He's got a great right hook.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Whatever.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm going to spend my summer giving something back to the community. Chlamydia.
I didn't hear it. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
You want to hear it again?
Sure, I didn't hear it. Mama was
busy. Stephanie Miller.
I'm going to spend my summer giving something back to the community. Chlamydia.
Been there, done that. Yeah. All right, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. It's Free for All Friday. Whoever's in the house gets to be a guest on the show. Hi, Travis.
Good morning.
This is the time of the show where you come in to taunt me about House of Cards plot points because I've not gotten through the second season yet.
You've got to catch up. Oh, my God.
However,
I've only been through the first season.
Yeah, in your capacity as associate producer booker for the Stephanie Miller Show, what have you brought Mama this morning?
The new Speaker of the House in House of Cards. Maybe on the show next week.
Oh, my God. Oh,
maybe
my God.
On the show. Maybe on the show.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
You're just excited about this, aren't you? You got to get caught up.
Stop taunting me.
She
can
spoil you.
All right.
She may be pushed in front of a subway right now, for all you know.
You're going to make people mad.
No, that's not what happens. No, that's not what happens.
You're thinking Game of Thrones.
Don't give away plot points.
I'm telling you, Steph.
What did you say? Why does Claire say that's exactly what we needed?
At the end of episode 24, when Claire is having coffee, and her husband and Kevin Spacey walks in, and she goes, "That's exactly what we needed." That moment.
Now we don't know what we're talking about. We don't know what does that mean. We don't know.
That means you got to get caught up, lady.
All right. Okay.
Lady.
Lady. All right.
That's the important thing.
We already had Dr. Wanda on, who's my best friend and house guest, and my nephew's not up yet. It'll be your job to go. Roust whatever remaining. Get him down here.
I hear he's hot.
Yeah, he is hot.
Oh, hey.
We have Judy Gold coming up at 8, but we have open slots.
I like Judy Gold. She's as tall as me.
Yes,
she is.
She could not work in the
closet.
And if
my nephew won't get up, just go wander about the streets and see who you can find. It seems interesting. Do a little pre-interviewing.
There's an old man who's walking in the park every morning at 5 a.m. wearing all black on the street.
There's that guy who was driving through your neighborhood that stopped me as I was walking down the street and said, "Excuse me, do you do porn?"
It's a weird neighborhood.
Yeah, it
okay.
is.
Okay, all right.
I can go
we just want to make this more like Pee-wee's Playhouse.
You
just let any random neighbors.
Huh? I can go knock on boy band's door.
No, don't do that. It's an actual famous, actual boy band member. Don't do that.
Like the most famous.
Yes, all right.
I wouldn't go that far.
I noticed the
fence. There's other famous people down that way.
He hasn't even been on Dancing with the Stars. He can't be that famous.
He hasn't been on yet.
All right, Travis Bone. Thanks.
There's a phone ring.
Throw me a bone here.
Yeah, go get there. Well, somebody's calling you. There you go.
Go get the phone, Bone.
Go get the phone.
I'm reading an article there about Christopher Walken. He's not a fan of modern technology. He only likes watches and cowbell.
How did I know
get
that?
Enough. I cannot get enough. All right, back to Ghost Plane.
I don't have a computer or a cell phone. Mm-hmm. I'm a Luddite.
Okay, John Young, the Australian Maritime Authority.
Yeah.
Who knew there was such a title?
The objects are relatively indistinct on the imagery. I don't profess to be an expert in assessing the imagery, but those who are expert indicate they are credible sightings. The indication to me is of objects that are a reasonable size and probably awash with water bobbing up and down out of the surface.
I think I could have told you that. Yes, the things that are floating are washed with water that is bobbing up and down on the surface.
Objects bobbing on the surface of the water.
The Australia Maritime Authority. And besides, it sounds more fun with an Australian accent.
I know.
It
sounds something floating in the water.
It sounds more casual with an Australian
accent.
Right,
it just sounds more fun.
Yeah.
Oi!
Like you'd have a Foster's while saying that.
See, this is how this story is. Everyone's just like an expert of some kind. You're like, what? I could have told you that. There's stuff, bobbing in the water? Yes, okay. You're the Stephanie Miller Show maritime expert now.
Oh, great, thanks.
Actually, Foster's is not the favorite beer in Australia. I think it's like Victoria Bitters.
Bitter.
Yeah, bitter, yeah.
Okay, all right. I'm bitter.
very bitter.
I'm the official bitters of this show.
Sorry, there's something floating in the water.
I've been bitter since the third grade.
Oh, an expert. I've noticed there's something floating in the water.
By the time I got to the fifth grade, I was very bitter. Very, very bitter. A bitter, bitter person.
By the way, Dr. Wanda and I were talking about various people in our lives that we're disappointed
with
or that are pathological liars. mentioning
disappointed!
Right. I totally forgot. We did not say a tribute to David Brenner, who passed away.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Who is one of the nicest guys. I've obviously met him. He's been on the shows, you know, multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
When I say shows, I mean whatever past canceled shows I've had. I don't know. I don't remember.
He hasn't been on any radio shows I worked with.
Yeah.
You.
Oh, no?
No.
Okay.
But
anyway,
he was great. Yeah.
He was an incredibly nice guy. And we were both screwed over by the same person in Hollywood. So we had a...
Mm-hmm. And Danny Bonaducci?
No, I'll tell you who. I'll tell you who.
Okay.
We're doing a break.
All right.
You like it. Okay.
I wonder if Danny Bonaducci's buying the $1,000 gift.
Oh.
The $1,000 meet and greet?
Yeah.
Certain symmetry to it.
Freespeech.org. Just be careful of random redheads. Okay. Greg Faith, the former Fife NTSB investigator.
We don't know where they came from. We don't know if they're part of the aircraft. And in fact, that aircraft could still be 1,000 miles or so from those two pieces of floating debris.
Terrific. Well, those are the latest non-developments in the non-developing ghost plane story. See, just everything we just played there, we are no better than CNN. It was a bunch of people deemed experts that don't, they're just saying we don't have
any. I'm an expert, and I don't know what's going on.
This thing
is bleeding idea, mate.
There's
not a clue.
Bobbing maybe in the ocean that may or may not be parts of the plane, or maybe, or could be 1,000 way, or could still be somewhere else, or we don't know. Okay, so we filled up that segment on Ghost Plane. That's pretty much all you need to know.
Did you see that CNN has covered one entire wall of its studio with a countdown clock to when the voice recorder goes dead?
Oh, wow.
CNN is officially...
It's like a game show.
It is.
Shark. If a shark actually jumps over one of these pieces of debris... CNN will be on that.
Bloody oath. Shark has jumped over the debris.
All right. Hey, meanwhile, World War III might be starting, everybody. I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah, Estonia? Really?
Right.
They really have no desire to be.
Yeah. Russia has become newly concerned about Estonia now.
Yeah.
Then the treatment of Russians in Estonia. President Obama announced Thursday he's levying additional sanctions against 20 high-level Russian officials and associates of Putin, as well as a bank in response to Moscow's move to annex Crimea. I think, as Charlie Pierce said the other day, best move of the moves we have might get some of the pirates to turn on each other. You know, not Somali pirates.
Hmm?
What? Meaning the...
I thought we're back on the other story now.
No. All right, the president yesterday.
The world is watching with grave concern as Russia has positioned its military in a way that could lead to further incursions into southern and eastern Ukraine.
Yes, as people are playing with toy planes, this just in. The buildup of Russian troops around the Ukrainian border getting larger and is raising serious concerns that Russia could invade Ukraine. Yesterday, Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel called Moscow to ask Russia's defense minister directly about the troop movements. And if history's any guide, they will say, troops? What troops? Yeah. They're not Russian troops. What kind of troops?
Yeah, they're unmarked.
I'm sorry,
the thing about Estonia, you know, Hitler analogies are always imperfect, but this sounds very much like the annexing of the Sudetenland, using the same justification that, the ethnic Germans are being tormented by the Czechs.
And yesterday I was saying there was a story that there is not much evidence that Russian-speaking Crimeans were being, anything was happening to them. President Obama yesterday.
This is not our preferred outcome. These sanctions would not only have a significant impact on the Russian economy, but could also be disruptive to the global economy. However, Russia must know that further escalation will only isolate it further from the international community.
Angela Merkel.
Angela. It is clear that as long as the political conditions for the G8 are non-existent, like right now, the G8 does not exist anymore, either as an organization or as a summit.
Yeah. The G8 was supposed to happen in Sochi this summer. It's not happening anymore because there is no such thing as the G8 now.
Mm-hmm. So there is no G-spot?
No.
To take place because...
There's just... Yeah. The best we can do is G7.
Right. So we were saying that I think we've been talking about stuff that Lindsey Graham, colleague John McCain...
Mm-hmm.
have been saying
yes
about the president. And Paula had the same point I did. Steph, isn't it treason for U.S. citizens to tell the world that our president is weak? Are they inviting an attack? I mean, how is that helpful? It really is incredible to me because it is not obviously bombing enough. We've not bombed enough yet.
There's some people who want to see Obama fail, even if it means the country failing.
Yep.
They're just so emotionally attached to destroying him.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of well-known Southern Belle Lindsey Graham, guess who is having big money fundraisers for him? Sheldon!
Sheldon Adelson!
Sheldon Adelson. Senator Lindsey Graham says he will propose federal internet gambling ban, a proposal that mirrors the agenda of his major backer.
Because he is a major casino owner.
He's a casino mogul.
And internet gaming would take away from Sheldon's business.
Sheldon's losing his business over the gaming and the thing.
This move comes after Adelson and his wife, who looks exactly like Bruce Belanche.
oh, come on.
I'm sorry. I was just reading that from the story.
No.
No, it's not in the story. I would not send you a story with that in it.
I think it said she's more butch than Bruce Belanche. No, that's not right.
Jim Louise.
Does she look like that GOP candidate that's going up against Schakowsky in Chicago?
Oh, that said gays cause autism? Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah.
Obviously, a gay has never gotten near that woman's hair.
All right. He and his wife hosted a grab fundraiser last year. Sheldon Adelson, who has called internet poker a threat to our society, a toxin.
Okay, I just met her.
A toxin which all good people ought to resist. He dismissed online gambling as fool's gold. Oh, casino.
Yeah.
The only place to do it is his casino on the internet.
If you're going to go lose money somewhere.
It's a toxin.
And might I say, you never win at the Venetian or the Palazzo, which are the casinos that he owns.
Really?
Yes. Hmm.
Is that where you go to get your fool's gold?
No, I go there. I put $20 in. I'm like, I'm not staying here because five minutes later, the $20 is gone.
Huh. Whatever, have you said it? Could I see Sheldon about my $20?
I need to talk to Sheldon about my $20.
At least at other places on this strip, you get a little gaming action. At Sheldon's places, you don't.
Yeah. On April 30th, here's a fun fact.
But the corned beef on rye is to die for.
It's actually not. Everything's expensive at these places.
The Adelsons hosted a high-dollar fundraiser for Graham at their Venetian Hotel in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
According to the event invitation, the Andersons hosted Graham and special guest, John McCain, at their exclusive Paisa Club for an evening reception and policy discussion. Is that what the kids are calling
call all these days? Although...
I'm here with my friend John for a policy discussion. Oh, my. I certainly hope they got a nice suite.
Why is there just one bed?
Oh, God.
Well, supposedly...
Thanks for the heart-shaped bed.
Supposedly, Lindsay was very close to his chief of staff. That's what I've heard.
Yes, he lived with his chief of staff, we're told, for 31 years.
That's a long time.
The chief of his staff. What? Sorry, what? No, I misspoke.
Listen, Batman had a manservant.
A manservant and a boy wonder.
Yeah.
His youthful ward.
And a pole that he slid up and down all day
long. His youthful ward, Dick.
It's amazing what all that money can buy you.
Oakley, 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Comedian Judy Gold coming up at the top of the hour. Chris and Yankton Jim asks if internet gambling gives Sheldon a case of Steinberg Flavin. Thank you, Chris. We don't know. Oh, and also, let's see. Billy says, Seth, has anyone spent hours of airtime and speculation the Malaysian airliner was soaked up in a Category 5F Sharknado? No,
I hadn't thought of that.
But I'm sure CNN will get to that.
And they are filming a sequel right now.
Are they really?
Yes. Sharknado in New York.
What does Ian Ziering think?
He's in it.
Of what's happened to the Malaysian airliner.
Tara Reid is in it, too.
Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, let's see. David in Massachusetts with some fun facts for us. Dear Steph, having just donated to Free Speech TV, hearing your claim that you do not yet have any of the new swag, the new Stephanie Miller swag, we do not. I suggest a simple donation of $360 will get you the full array of Stephanie Miller show paraphernalia. I've enclosed a picture of all that is currently available. It is lovely. Can't you see yourself sitting in your studio wearing your very own Stephanie Miller Show hoodie and baseball cap, drinking wine which has been carefully selected and poured from a box into your Stephanie Miller Show mug, and having all the notes for the date show neatly organized in your Stephanie Miller Show messenger bag? Of course, for $1,000, you can enjoy both the thrill of a tour of your home studio and the exhilarating conversation at lunch with the beautiful and talented Stephanie Miller. Perhaps you could just set up a mirror opposite your seat at your own kitchen table to save yourself the necessity of leaving home to go to a restaurant so as not to break your traditional shut-in habits. In any case, I strongly urge you to hurry, as I did, to freespeech.org or call 1-877-378-8669 to make your sizable donation so you can enjoy the swag and continue to spend 3 hours daily, 9 to noon Eastern, watching Mama on Free Speech TV. Love you and the Mooks. Can't wait for a sexy liberal to return to Boston. Boston? Why, I hear the Wilbur Theater's been asking for us again.
The Wilbur? Wilbur's been asking about us.
I'm going to have to look into that. Why, I oughta. All right. Did you see Chris Christie had a press, what do you call it, town hall?
Yep.
Oh, them town halls is getting a little tense. He's getting nastier and nastier, what with the questions and all. I said no questions about the bridge gate.
If he says there are no questions at a town hall, then it's pretty much just a speech, right?
Right, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Right, okay. Then you can just subtract the people and the question. You,
yes.
You can subtract the town and the hall, and then just you
and
get
I'll
the
do
talk.
The talking.
Chris Christie was asked directly about the Bridgegate scandal at a town hall style event for the first time since the traffic controversy was linked to his office earlier in the year. The question added to a growing number of tense moments at these trademark Christie events. A man in the audience asked why he seemed to fire aide Bridget Ann Kelly for lying, but not for her apparent, for not for what she did.
Right.
Right.
I don't approve of what happened. Mm-hmm. I didn't approve of what happened. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing everything I can right now to make sure that something like that never happens again.
Mm-hmm. He said there were a lot of reasons for the firing. If she told me the truth, she would have gotten fired too because of what she did. But I never had a chance to hear the truth. Yeah, because why would you ask any questions about that?
Right.
Here's a little magical silver lining. An attorney for Kelly, who is fighting a state subpoena for documents about the scandal, did not immediately respond to a request for a comment. But I would keep poking her with a stick, Governor. I would keep saying about her.
Boink.
The attorney said after a recent court appearance about the subpoena that Kelly was innocent of wrongdoing. Huh. Well, then who could have ordered it, I wonder? I wonder who could have ordered the code red. Huh. She was innocent of wrongdoing.
You're damn right I ordered the code red.
I did the job.
Did you order the code red?
Damn right I did!
I bet someone could get him to snap at a town hall.
It's deep down in places you don't talk about at parties.
Right.
You know what? The first person...
You need me on that wall.
Yeah.
It better be a big wall. That's what I'm saying.
The first person that makes...
You better have a lot of support.
I'm not going to do Humpty Dumpty on your ass.
A lot of, like, support. A lot of, like, you know... Yes, Chris, I'm sorry.
The first person who makes Chris Christie snap gets a free coffee mug from the Stephanie Miller Show.
There you go, please.
Nice.
Okay. Her attorney said after a recent court appearance, she was innocent of wrongdoing and, quote, a 42-year-old single mom with 4 children trying to make do in a difficult time. Oh, heavens, you know, maybe if someone started chatting, I'd be able to... I know you want to talk, Bridget, call me. 1-800-STEPH-12. Just between us gals.
Just try to disguise your voice.
Exactly. I'm just hoping she's feeling chatty, that's all. All right. So we had the lovely and talented Jackie Schechner in yesterday for Jackie's Healthcare Corner, as we do on Thursdays. And she was saying the same thing a lot of people that we, you know, trust and respect have said. You've got to run on Obamacare. Democrats should not run away from it. They should talk about all the great things that Republicans are running simply on taking away. Mm-hmm. Nancy Pelosi said that. Another cute, smart chick. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi said the law...
You called her a cute chick?
She's a cute, smart chick.
Okay.
She said the health care law is a winner. When asked if it's a winning or losing issue for Democrats in swing districts, she said, you'll have to ask the member, but I believe it's a winner. She also emphasized that the health care law, the law's name, the Affordable Care Act, is important because it describes what the law will do, lower costs. She said opponents started using Obamacare because they wanted to get away from saying the word affordable.
You know your sugar is spice. It ain't a man's
And then another thing Jackie talked about, we'll get to next hour. Salon has a great piece, Health Insurers' Greedy Lie, How the Media is Helping Them Harm Obamacare. Because the press takes them at their word, yet another Obamacare doom and gloom story is picking up steam. And we'll tell you what that is as we continue.
All I hear is doom and gloom.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. All right, and Judy Gold, comedian extraordinaire, as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Happy Friday. It is The Stephanie Miller Show. Barbara writes, Steph, regarding the disappearance of the Malaysian plane, has anyone talked to David Copperfield? Maybe the plane will reappear this weekend on stage at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. Mm. Or maybe at one of Sheldon's, the Venetian or something like that. Barbara in Chicago. Maybe. Who can say? Speaking of big shows, normally it's The Stephanie Miller Show, but when Judy Gold calls, what show is it?
The Judy Show.
It's Judy's show! Hi, Judy Gold.
Can I just mention the hold music?
Yes, please.
Oh.
Frightening.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Sorry.
Did
we tone loke her?
What is that?
Yeah, it's the tone loke loop that we...
Funk it, Gold Medina.
It's so that when stations tune to us, manually tune to us on satellite, they know they've got the right channel.
All right, technique.
I thought that was the music they play when they waterboard you.
they do that as well.
Judy Gold, I understand you're going to be out here doing a show in Los Angeles, right?
Yes, I can't wait. How are you?
I'm good, precious pumpkin face.
I didn't get little baby girl.
I didn't get to see you.
Yeah, I'm doing Rockwell Table and Chair.
That's a fabulous place.
It is.
I heard. April 7th, Monday night.
Monday, April 7th, because I missed you in Fort Lauderdale. We were at the Parker Playhouse Saturday. You were there Friday. I heard you were fabulous. You and Bruce Vilanch.
Oh, yeah. Did they all tell you I said hi? Please say yes.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Now,
it was fun. Did you perform at the Parker Playhouse?
I did Saturday night with Sexy Liberal. Wait a minute. Did you ask Bruce Vilanch, is he married to Sheldon Adelson? Or does Sheldon Adelson's wife just look a lot like Bruce Vilanch?
No, they are the same person, actually.
Mm-hmm. All right. This is just confirming.
Sheldon leads a double life.
Yes.
Sheldon.
Of course, some folks do go both ways.
Yeah.
Judy Gold, what is your, you know, it's talk radio, so we must have your theory on what has happened to the Malaysian airliner.
Well, I'm just trying to find out where I can get 24-hour, minute-to-minute, second-to-second coverage of it.
You can't find it. Nobody's covering it.
Look, it's awful, but you know what? It's so boring already. I can't. When you find something, call me. I can't with the weather's bad. Oh, they look at it. It is unbelievable. There's so much else going on in the world.
Right. This just in, the flight simulator is at the FBI headquarters in Quantico.
They're
trying to figure out what's going on with the deleted data that might be suspicious and might not, while they're trying to figure out whether the objects in the Indian Ocean are debris from the plane or shipping containers. So that's the development. There's no development. I think it's probably in the Indian Ocean somewhere, but I have no clue. Nobody does, do they?
Wait, and was it true? This is the other thing I heard. This is a few days ago, so
yes.
This is probably not true anymore. But that people were calling the cell phones and they were ringing.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
I did not.
Yeah.
Hear
that.
Ooh.
This was the East Coast, I guess. Mm. But yeah, that people were, and instead of it going right to voicemail, it would just ring and ring.
Interesting.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
What does that mean? I'm not a tech person.
I think if it was destroyed, wouldn't it just go right to voicemail?
Yes. The phone wouldn't ring.
Right.
Huh.
Oh, Judy Gold with
Curiouser and Curiouser.
Thank you very much. That was just breaking news. Thank you.
Breaking speculation, really, but okay. Close enough. Yeah, and we were saying, meanwhile, World War III might be starting if anyone's done. I mean, Putin could be behind this because Putin, meanwhile,
is invading every country.
Crimea. I mean, let's find this damn plane.
Yeah. Yeah. Putin may well have taken it. A, he's feeling grabby in that he just grabbed
right.
Crimea, and he's trying to distract because now he's looking at Estonia.
Estonia, yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, but there's a troop buildup along the Ukraine border. I mean, this could be bad.
You know, he sat there at the Olympics, miserable. Did he smile once?
No. Well, he has a bad facelift, so it's hard to tell.
Yeah. And then it's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. This guy is unbelievable.
Judy Gold, as a big gay, I want to ask you.
You know I'm in the closet, Stephanie.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
Good job.
I am so sorry.
Go ahead.
Fred Phelps has left us, Reverend Fred Phelps of God,
wait,
hates,
hold on.
God hates fags.
Yeah, go ahead.
He has left us, as you know.
Uh-huh. He's left the building.
And in other big gay news, Bill Donahue, you know, the head of the Catholic League, did you see he's boycotting Guinness for boycotting the gay parade?
Yes,
for being,
I read that, yes.
For boycotting, I'm sorry, St. Patrick's Day parade for excluding gays.
Right.
So then he said,
he demanded
to march in the gay parade with a sign saying straight is great, and the gay organizers
said
okay. Absolutely.
Without missing a second.
Of course, who cares?
Right, we will march with you. And so now he's trying to get out of it.
Of course.
Weasel. Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You know, these people are so let me tell you something. No one should protest that funeral. There should be no coverage of that funeral.
I said that, too. That a lot of people were calling for people to protest this funeral.
No,
just
why?
Ignore
why?
Him like
why?
We should have
who
in
cares?
Life.
Yeah. Thank God. They should have a party.
Yeah. And he got
not even, you know what? He doesn't deserve any recognition whatsoever. He's disgusting. Yeah. And did you know he was excommunicated last year from the...
Right. Because...
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, we were saying...
Oh, yeah, yeah,
right.
Fred Phelps, yes.
Because he
yeah.
suggested something slightly Jesus-y that maybe they ought to start being a little kinder to each other.
Right, because he probably knew he was on his way out.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and the son is very pro-GLBT.
Mm-hmm. Right. Judy Gold and other Leslie news.
Yes, I love Leslie news. Am I the only one you do Leslie news with?
Yes, I just created it right now.
Oh,
for you.
God, I love Leslie news with Stephanie Miller. Go ahead. And Judy Gold.
I smell a show.
Should
on
we play some kind of like folk music when we do Leslie news?
I smell a show on Logo. Judy. We had Diana Nyad on yesterday, a famous swimmer, and she's on Dancing with the Stars.
How was it?
It was awesome.
She was great.
She was great, but she's on Dancing with the Stars, and if she gets to the next round, she wants to dance with Cheryl Burke. And I think America's ready for that.
I totally think America's ready for that. And what'd they say?
I think they're open to it if she gets, but she has to get to that round, I guess.
I love that she's a palindrome.
I mean, look at her.
Yeah.
Diana Nyad.
There's a great article about her in The New Yorker.
Oh, is there? Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
Because I was saying that, as bad as my life is, broken. What did I get called this week? A desperate old crone?
Yeah.
I see her.
Oh, that's not bad.
I see her on TV all, like, trembling with a jellyfish stuck to her eye, and I'm like, I can do something.
Right.
Look what she just, for
exactly.
God's sakes.
She is one unbelievable human being.
Yeah, she is. And she's just nice and inspirational and all that stuff.
Yeah,
as
I love her.
As are you, Judy Gold.
And
Judy, by the way, I'm a big Food Network person, and so I watched you on Rachel versus Guy, and I think you should have placed higher.
You and me both.
Yes.
Let me just tell you something. My crab
now
cakes
were
delicious, okay?
Yes, they looked incredible.
Yeah, she had it out for me. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
They were so good. Everyone tried them. I went out of my comfort zone, you know?
Right.
And I think that should be
rewarded.
Exactly. So I made those crab cakes. First of all, my chicken wings were really good. And if you looked at them, they were beautiful. Even right. I got the presentation
right.
award
yep.
on the chicken wings.
Listen, if that Diana Nyad goes on that show and cooks like, jellyfish cakes and wins.
Your crab cakes
yeah,
bring
all
the boys all to the yard.
The entire time. But, you know, Vanilla Ice is a vegetarian.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to make chicken wings. He made tofu chicken wings.
Ew.
Huh.
And they were like, oh, these are great. Oh, these are great.
Oh, God.
They're tofu.
Right.
They're not great.
There's
they
no
like
bone.
Tofu.
You know what? This is how my life is a wonder. I never knew I was going to wake up today to have Judy Gold talking about Vanilla Ice on my show. What is better than that? There's
that
just nothing. You know
tofu
what?
Chicken wings.
Never
I
know.
But wasn't it? Did you like the show?
I did like the show. I watched it for a few years now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
a
really
great show.
Good.
Yeah, I like it.
You're the prettiest, funniest girl ever and the best cook in the world, and everyone is jealous of you, Judy.
Oh, Stephanie, that's exactly what I needed to hear today.
Hey, if you want to see all that live, Monday, April 7th at the Rockwell Table and Stage right here in Los Angeles, do it. Go. I love you, Judy Gold.
I love you guys. Have Goodbye. A great weekend.
You Goodbye. Too, Judy. Goodbye.
All right.
Now it's not Judy's show anymore. She's hilarious.
I love her.
I have loved her since I...
Tofu chicken wings.
I did comedy in front of styrofoam cows in New York in the late 1980s with her and Kathleen Madigan.
That's just odd.
Among other people.
You sure they weren't tofu cows?
No, they were not. All right. Alicia in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Alicia.
Hey. I just wanted to thank Dr. Wanda.
Yay!
It's not because of
my best friend.
Rack. It's because now I truly believe that I'm working with a sociopath.
Oh, dear.
And this woman, she constantly lies, and she pulls stunts and plays her mind games, and it's just to...
Oh, I could top you. I could top you if I could talk about pathological liar in my life, but sure. But I can't tell you. But we'll talk off air. I tell you I can top you. All right, honey. I will run upstairs and thank Dr. Wanda in a moment. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Speaking of thanks and love, I have one quick love letter.
Oh, okay.
I am telling you, there is an Animal Planet show in our future. Just saying.
We got skunks. We've got dogs.
Fred got skunk yesterday. Thank you. I had a nation full of people sending me skunk removal recipes. Thank you.
And a grateful... studio staff thanks you, too.
A grateful nation and a grateful studio staff thanks you. Okay. Marie, I'm a loyal listener who lives near WCPT in Chicago and fellow crazy dog lady. Do you have an official poodle foster mom? No, that's you. Now that I have a raccoon. I'd love to see Max and Fred.
Nah.
These two adorable poodles were found abandoned on the north side of Chicago early March. Katniss and PETA. Katniss and PETA are ready.
Oh, that's from the Hunger Games.
Can they shoot bows and arrows?
They're living with us lefties and listening to your show in the mornings. A trainer told me to leave the radio on for them. That's one of them. If any of your Chicago listeners would like to adopt an adorable non-shedding dog who's being brainwashed to be a fellow lefty, they should contact the Doodle Rescue Collective. Ask for about Katniss and PETA. Katniss and PETA. Katniss and PETA.
They are adorable.
Hi, so okay.
What did you say? They don't shed?
No. Poodles don't shed.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and if you have allergies, they're good. Because they're non-shedding dogs.
Okay. My friends in Oakland have a poodle about this big. His name is Rex. And I think he's made of bird bones because you pick him up and it's like picking up a bubble.
Yes. Bird bones.
Yes.
All right. 17 minutes after the hour, we roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, I like her.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. The way you walk and talk really sets me off to a full on child. Yes, the way you push, let me know that you're good. You're gonna get your wish.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, Fred is back. Fred was quarantined yesterday because he was skunked.
Yeah.
And now, thanks to our listeners, he smells magical, and he has his chief petty officer, Jim Ward, back. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. You can find anything on Craigslist. There it is. Paul alerts us the airliner is on Craigslist. Slightly used Boeing 777 for sale, asking $15 million USD, or best offer. That includes all the snacks on the plane. Not much fuel in the plane at the moment. It's an absolutely great flying condition. Absolutely no joyride. Sold as is. No trades or returns. All deals are final. Okay.
Okay,
all right.
Thanks.
That's kind of dark, funny.
And by the way, Scott in Madison wrote in and said there may be an explanation for the cell phones ringing. He said he recently heard an explanation of why those cells rang. Before your cell can actually ring, the cell provider has to locate it by searching for its signal across their entire system. While that's happening, the caller will hear it ringing. If the system is unable to establish contact with your phone, the call would then be directed to voicemail. So it was searching for the phones while it was ringing. It wasn't necessarily ringing.
Oh, okay. Well, I find Judy Gold at least as reliable as the Malaysian government. So she told us that.
Yes.
All right.
And she heard that a couple of days ago, so we may have gotten the explanation since then.
Some comedian I know heard it somewhere a couple of days ago. What's wrong with that? That's as good information as most people have.
It happens.
Well, because her point was that it would go to voicemail if, you know, the phones were gone and obviously
right.
Blaine was gone, but she was saying
right.
That would lend itself to the conspiracy theory that they're alive somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that wouldn't be a conspiracy.
Well, right. If it's true, it might be true.
We don't know.
They didn't seems unlikely.
They wouldn't have conspired to remain alive.
Right. That's right. Thank you, Jim. Point taken. Okay. All right. I was speaking of unreliable. The media is notoriously unreliable on Obamacare, as Jackie Schechner said yesterday. Oh, look. It's like an episode of Bewitched where somebody replaced Jackie Schechner with a Great Pyrenees.
He's smiling.
Yeah,
he is a smiling. He's a smiley dolphin dog. He's a good boy.
He's a what?
He's a smiley dolphin dog. He looks like a dolphin smiling. He's a good boy. You don't need to encourage me. This is what I do all day. Did you just throw up?
Yeah, a little bit.
All right. Alerting you in Jackie Schechner's absence.
You literally made him throw up in his mouth a little bit.
I think you actually did. I don't think you were faking it.
Oh, God.
You survived my usual greeting. Hi, Monkey Man.
Oh, I'm used to that.
Hi, I'm Mama's Monkey Man.
You just called him your little dolphin man.
You haven't seen me play with Max's lips yet. I go, who's got gorilla lips? Who's got rubber gorilla lips? It's Max, Dad, Max.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a good thing your best friend is a psychiatrist.
Right. I know. What are the chances, right? Like, that was an accident that my best friend that was just on the show is a psychologist.
Psychologist.
Woo!
Okay.
Yeah. Because I am wowee.
I think you need to surround yourself with people.
What do you mean? I do, occasionally.
Not with monkey men.
Four-legged
people.
Four-legged people.
Yes.
Four-legged hairy people.
Dogs are better than people.
Oh, God.
Why do you think it's God spelled backwards?
Oh.
Okay. All right, so I was alerting you to the latest. This is the problem, as we always say. It's not just the Republicans lying about Obamacare. It's that the media eats it up. Why? Because it adds to the storyline.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It adds to, you know, ooh, fight. Oh, 2014's going to be
ratings.
Yeah. A few months ago, Salon writing, all anyone could talk about were cancellation letters. Average Americans were receiving letters from their health insurers informing them their coverage had been scrapped because of Obamacare, and they would automatically end up enrolled in a new, far more expensive plan. The press, egged on by eager Republican operatives, ate it up. The controversy was premised on the notion that health insurance companies were acting in good faith and without self-interest. If they were raising rates, it was because they had to and not simply because they could. And as it turns out, the insurance companies were lying.
Huh.
They were trying to squeeze what they could out of customers, trusting they would not shop at the Obamacare marketplace for better ideas. Jackie says this all the time.
Yeah.
We have to fight back against them blaming Obamacare for stuff that insurance companies are always did and are still doing.
Yep.
I mean, and we've talked about all these Republican horror stories. It's people that haven't bothered to shop on the exchange because, you know, they hate the president or whatever.
That's why we need single payer.
Thank you.
Cut them out.
Blah, blah, blah. The episode offered a fine lesson for the press. When it comes to Obamacare, don't take health insurers at their word. I mean, they're just a health insurer or a Republican calls them and are like, oh, well, that's a great story. It's like, what? Okay. The lesson has been ignored, and yet another Obamacare doom and gloom story is picking up steam. Obamacare premiums to skyrocket is the new headline. Beware of that, is what they're saying, leaning on anonymous insurance company officials, all of whom, of course, have your best interests at heart.
Of course.
And would help you if it weren't for that terrible president. Let's see, blah, blah, blah. The truth is nobody in the insurance industry knows for certain how Obamacare will affect premiums in the coming year. The open enrollment period hasn't ended yet, and insurers don't know yet how many people are enrolled for coverage through the program, what their ages are, how healthy they are, etc. So this is almost like pre-fear-mongering about stuff that hasn't happened yet. These data will vary market, state to state. The risk of premium spikes is real, but only in certain markets. A key factor will be the level of competition. Which is why a public option would have been such a good idea.
Uh-huh.
In areas many companies vying for business, insurers are likely to keep rates low for the same reason they have so far. They don't want to lose customers. But in rural states and states where one insurer predominates, carriers will have more leeway to raise prices, and some are likely to use it. Moreover, the writers of the law anticipated this, you know, inequitable distribution of the sick and the healthy, young and old, yada, yada. And it built in a few shock absorbers. If an insurer finds itself with a surplus of older, sicker enrollees in a given market, its losses will be covered in part by insurers who are profiting from the surplus of a younger, healthier enrollees. All of this nuance and complexity falls to the wayside, however, when you have a conservative media that doesn't give a f- about how insurance markets actually work. So beware of the next, you know, bull talking point on Obamacare. Look alive, everybody. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Man.
Stephanie Miller.
Major Liz Chow.
She sure is, Stewie. She sure is.
Why, thank you. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, it's a love letter for Natan.
For Natan?
Speech TV director slash videographer over there in the corner. Kelly in Fort Lauderdale. Dear Mama, stop being such a block. You refuse to read my love letters when I perv out on Pony Boy Travis. I see how it is. You don't want him, but you don't want anyone else to have him. That's it. What else are you hoarding? What about that mysterious one you're hiding in the corner, Natan? Clearly the Stephanie Miller International Policy on Sexual Conduct in the Workplace is... You can have them, but why don't you help another lovely housebound and drag Natan in front of the camera, play some squeezy music, and have him turn around nice and slow. Oh, yeah. Do it early before Amy Goodman wakes up.
There he's doing it.
Kelly
just did it.
Kelly in Fort Lauderdale. There you go. There's a little taste of Natan. If you want some more, you'll have to donate to freespeechtv.org. Freespeech.org. Do it. Okay.
You used to sexually harass me when I was young and nubile and in my 20s.
I don't bother with you
anymore. Nubile?
I know.
I've moved on to new meat.
Now I'm just an old bag of dust.
Shut up, pony boy. Shut the door. Okay. By the way, in other brony news, that the kid has been allowed to bring his Rainbow Dash purse to school.
Book bag. It's
right.
Not a purse.
Okay. That was the biggest news to Travis, who is a brony. Who is a... What does that mean?
It's a bro who likes My Little Pony.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Jim,
hmm?
Bob Mackie has bowed out of Cher's Dress to Kill World Tour.
Oh, no.
Cher will embark on her Dress to Kill Tour without the elaborate style of Bob Mackie.
Whatever will we do?
Because of constraints and other commitments.
Bring back the pashmina.
I was just going to say, Cher, don't judge me on one wrinkly green pashmina incident. I can do it. I can step in for Bob Mackie. Come on. I don't wear wrinkly green pashmina every day. Stupid internet, it's forever.
Mm. Yes, it is. When you do an image search for you, that's the first one.
Oh, and it's like the worst picture of me ever. And I'm just like frozen next to Cher in my wrinkly green pashmina.
Well, not as bad as the Wolfchild picture.
Well, that's worse. You're right.
You have the negative destroyed, though. So,
speaking of women I love, Diane Sawyer. I can watch the Drunken Tape forever. Have you seen it?
Oh, Diane Sawyer, yes.
She's chugging
We're
wine.
Gonna need
out of
a lot
giant
of
giant glass, girl, nice. After my own heart.
To awesome. Kill the bug you have up your ass.
That's been out for what, months now? But it was some like tape before she was on air. She's getting ready to go on air, and she's just like, just
she
like
and
me.
Boner should get together.
Just like me. We're told she overheard some members of her ABC World News team talking about not being able to find time to exercise. She surprised everyone and bought a gym membership at the fitness center under the Plaza Hotel for the whole staff. She believes strongly in a healthy way of life. So do I. Spinning class, hiking, and a lot of...
Can you get a good, proper workout at the Plaza Hotel?
It's the club that's above the plaza.
Still.
Billy Joel hates We Didn't Start the Fire. He botched the words. That would be hard, particularly if you've been...
Drinking.
As he's known to do as well. He stopped the band dead in their tracks and went off saying, all you got to do is... up one word in that song, it's a train wreck. It's the yeah. same thing, verse after verse, just the words change. It was one of the worst melodies I ever wrote. It is wordy.
And it was one of his most popular songs.
Start the fire. It's a very wordy song. Yeah. I can see what he means.
And if you screw it up once, you've screwed up the rest of the timeline.
Right.
Of the
right.
Song.
Particularly if you've had a bottle of red and a bottle of white before you do the song.
You know what? If you're an alcoholic, do you have to make everybody else around you an alcoholic?
Yes! Peggy and... You need company.
You've made Diane Sawyer an alcoholic. You've made Billy
Joel
an alcoholic.
I'm not saying she is, but watch the tape. Oh, my God. She has a, seriously, a glass of wine this big on the set. She's just like...
It's like the Holy Grail.
Okay. Peggy in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Peg.
Hi, Steph.
Hello.
Like I told Travis, this is the real Peggy, not that troll that called in the other day.
Oh, good. All right.
My partner and I went to H&R Block the other day to do taxes.
Uh-huh.
And after he was finished, she asked if he had insurance, and of course we said no. Well, it turns out he's eligible not only for Medicaid for $0 per month, but he can also get the Silver Plan, which is a good plan, for $25 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a pretty good thing from the Affordable Care Act, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Go tell it, sister. Go tell it in the mountain or something, somewhere. What the hell am I talking about?
I don't know.
All right.
You're drunk.
It's Friday. By the by, we were talking about, she was, see, that's what I'm saying. You've got to keep telling your good Obamacare stories. Because I was saying Solana alerting us to the latest, like, lie. That it's stuff planted by insurance companies and or Republican operatives that they just pick up. With Republicans pushing Obamacare as their big 2014 issue, it's easy to see how hand-wringing of a couple of unnamed insurance executives suddenly becomes a narrative.
Right.
So the new narratives is premiums are going to skyrocket. That's it. That's the story. It hasn't happened. Anyway, the politics of Obamacare aren't great, but ceding the argument to the opposition certainly won't make them any better. Thank you, Solana. Another. Oh, could you load the liar cannon? Because
yes.
Here's the thing. Not only, as Jackie Schechner told us yesterday, did they not have an alternative. So there is no replace in the repeal and replace. They also are, what's the word I'm looking for, lying. Boner's Obamacare claim garners four completely false Pinocchios.
What's it like to be a liar, huh? Do you like being a liar with pants constantly on fire?
Yeah. Right. Last week, House Speaker John Boehner claimed that based on the number of canceled plans versus number of enrollees, the Affordable Care Act must have resulted in a net loss of insured Americans.
Computer says no.
Oh, you're a liar. You're just a liar. You always were.
So PolitiFact and Glenn Kessler, the Washington Post fact checker, both sites questioned Boehner's number of those who had plans canceled because they failed to meet the ACA's minimum requirements. Both sites also reminded Boehner's that many canceled policies were extended under the ACA's fix enacted late last fall that allowed people to keep their policies for another year, while some were moved automatically by their insurance companies to new plans. PolitiFact estimated the number of people actually left without insurance is about 500,000, even taking into account that a fraction of those signing up through the ACA's website were previously uninsured. The number well exceeds those who've actually lost insurance. They also found Boehner's claim failed to include people 26 and younger who were able to stay on their parents' health plan. And those who signed up through Medicaid, conservative estimates put those two groups combined at around 5 million. Taking the lowest range estimates, we still end up with nearly 9 million people added to the insurance rolls, more than enough to swamp Boehner's figures, which is, we noted, is a pretty useless number to begin with. Okay, that
if
is...
If you ain't the granddaddy right. of all liars...
He rated PolitiFact, called it completely false.
So he's full of...
Liar! Liar!
He's full of orange poop.
Yes.
Basically.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you for that. Here's the good news. You know I believe children are the future. Not enough to have any, but...
not like you can't have any anymore. Teach them let
them lead the way. Never know. New York Magazine, a new report shows how young liberals own the future of American politics. I think good news for America. Check this out, peoples. One of the most seismic changes in American politics over the last decade has been the emergence of a sharp generational split among the electorate. Electorate.
It's people who vote for the electric company.
The Democratic Party owes its success in the last two presidential elections almost entirely to overwhelming support among the very young, which has overcome continued conservatism among older voters. The Pew has. Its latest survey shows again how the liberalism of the youngest voting cohort, millennials, all those millennials are precious pumpkins.
Those millennials.
Right. They remain firm and continues to likely continue to recast the electorate. or electric kit.
Electric company.
There are Republicans are they you know they're saying Republicans are facing a midterm election. They're likely to win not only because the young tend not to vote in midterms. Come on. Tom Brokaw urges you millennials.
You millennials, to get out there and vote. Go to the ballot box.
Thank you, Tom. But also because the president's party tends to lose midterms in general, the House map structurally favors the GOP, and this year's Senate elections are held on overwhelmingly friendly turf for the GOP. But the overall picture is an electorate that's growing steadily more liberal on both social and economic policies, and Hughes views Republicans will eventually have to accommodate. I, for one, welcome our new liberal overlords. We salute you, millennial liberal overlords.
Millennial liberal overlords.
Yes. We salute you. Please be nice to us.
Yes.
Please choose good nursing homes for all of us. We've tried to help in the little time we were here. By the way, speaking of which, Zach Galifianakis is now healthcare.gov's biggest traffic driver. Yeah, the between two ferns, hilarious.
Yes.
You're right. Every word in this has an L in it. They had a huge, after the Funny or Die thing, a huge spike, which is exactly the point of it. Ha ha. Mm-hmm. Someone had a good tweet regarding healthcare. Maybe women can use penis pumps as breast pumps since they're more likely to be covered by insurance. Thank you.
Thank you. How long they are? Breasts are shaped like that, which would be weird.
Your breasts are shaped like a hot dog? What?
Well, they might end up that way if you pump too hard. Okay, 40.
Oh, God.
45 minutes after the hour. Hey, kids! Madison Sexy Liberal is next Saturday, 29th, at the Barrymore Theater. That's sold out, so I don't know why I only mentioned it to irritate people. But April 26th in Chicago, Jim Ward, Chris LeBoy joining John Fugelsang, Carlos Alz, Rocky, and I for the big show in the Chicago Theater. Then at Pope Joy Hall in Albuquerque is May 10th, and then the big one in June.
Minneapolis, you've been extra Minnesota nice lately, and you deserve a treat.
Oh, you betcha, yeah.
Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming to the State Theater on June 7th.
So it'd be quite a coincidence if they weren't, you know, connected.
Join John Fugelsang.
From his footprint, he looks like a big fella.
Carlos Alazraki.
Oh, he's a little guy, kind of funny looking.
And St. Pauli girl Stephanie Miller, as they bring triple the comedy to the Twin Cities.
Barbarians need to be disciplined.
Yeah, you got that right.
Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com or the State Theater box office. Don't miss this evening of laughs with your sexy liberal family.
Where is everybody?
That's Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at Minneapolis's State Theater on June 7th.
I am absolutely delighted to welcome you to the land of Minnesota Nice.
End of story.
All right, 46 minutes after the hour, we're back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, sorry about that. The show's gotten a little lowbrow.
What are you talking about? It's like the most hilarious show ever.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the, I know you.
Talk, whore.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Rough gig, 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Rocky Mountain Mike reminds us, yeah, we were just talking about coming to Minneapolis June 7th with Sexy Liberal before the break. And I forgot, was this when we got the first TV show on Current?
Yeah, or I think so.
Or this one on Free Speech TV? Either way. It is nice to think. It might be the one show.
Who can gross the world out with a tweet?
That's me.
Who can take the MOOCs and the show and suddenly make them appear on TV? Well, it's you, Steph, and you should know it. With every single breath you think, don't you blow it. You got your box wine, why don't you drink it? Fart jokes all around, I know they stink, but... You might just use them after all. You might not get axed in the fall.
It took a little longer than the fall. We got axed in the spring.
That's right. That's right. Who knows this time? So, you know, I wouldn't hurry. Go to freespeech.org. Yeah. Give it a couple of...
Well, if we didn't get axed, the entire channel got axed.
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do take the whole network down with me.
You're what do you mean,
sometimes?
No, you're not.
Sorry, Oprah. No, I think Oxygen's still around. It just got sold.
Yeah.
So I didn't technically kill the network.
Yeah, and they basically just show reruns of
right.
Bad Girls Club. And
so oxygen
sort of
is now
thing.
Carbon dioxide.
they really don't have any original programming anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't watched it.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking of awesome things in Minneapolis, see, remember Dave? Dave in Minneapolis, our good friend that calls all the time. There's Dave and his husband-to-be, Greg.
Aww.
Who's now, story about a bear. Okay. But I had my best friend of 30 years, Dr. Wanda, on earlier, and she was talking about sort of collective depression in the country and yada, yada. I normally wouldn't read, but this is the most amazing love letter. Give me some love music that Dave wrote to me that made me a cry. I urge you to write a letter to someone that, because I've had a, I'm having a bad
life.
Right. Particularly, it's a long story. Can I talk about it? A lot of
love bad. Michigas.
Just, yeah, right. Up in this mishpuka. Dave writes, because this is just, it touched me, and I think it's what our whole sexy liberal family and whole, is mishpuka family? No, it's another thing I'm thinking
I think
of.
It is.
I have no idea. I don't speak Yiddish.
All right, call Sheldon.
Sheldon.
Steph and the Mooks, a.k.a. Jim, Chris, Travis, Natan. I've listened to the show for the past several years. During that time, you've kept me smiling. I needed this week, is all I'm saying. You've kept me smiling through the president of the presidency of George W. Bush.
I got ourselves surplus. Means you're paying too much tax. I'm going to fix that. Hey, Scottish policeman, I'm going to run over your foot.
That's the only thing that got me through the Bush presidency. You know what it is. Him saying grapey. Remember George W. Bush with his sucker on the Oval Office
popsicle.
Rug?
It's grapey.
Tastes grapey.
Oops. I spilled it on the optimistical yellow rug. Now what am I going to do? Don Rumsfeld, what am I going to do?
Jiminy Christmas, I say you start another war.
Good idea.
Weren't we like that old Lily Tomlin routine, shut up about the cake? We were like, shut up about that rug! Oh, he won't stop talking about that stupid happy rug that he makes all the horrible decisions on. Okay, I'm sorry, we're scatting.
Yeah.
The election of our first president, Benghazi, Michelle Bachmann running for president, Marcus running for first lady.
Yay!
Marcus running for first lady and deep-throating a foot-long corn dog. And the worst House of Representatives ever. You also kept me going through the end of a 10-year relationship and job woes.
Aww.
I suppose it's strange to feel someone's your friend when they're 2,000 miles away and a voice on the radio, but that's how we experience y'all. You have been and continue to be so important in the pursuit of justice for the poor and members of the LGBT community. Truth, justice, and the American way, Jim. It's our bag.
Right. It's our bag, baby.
You value peace over conflict.
Computer says yes.
You speak, well, except when I throw a stapler at Chris. You speak truth to power. We share a foundation that values people over profits. Take that, suckers. Koch brothers, that's what I'm talking about.
Koch.
You know that there is enough for everyone if we would just share it. Friendship exists for many reasons. See, my best friend Wanda was here to remind me of that. But I believe the most solid and memorable ones are those that are built on a shared view of the world that is coupled with the need for action. Maybe that's why 2,000 miles between us don't matter. You make so many of us laugh, and it might be easier to cry or give up. No, that's my job. That's what I do every day. Right?
You cry, give up.
Drink, cry, give up. And then every day, I rise anew.
You
like
do.
A phoenix from the ashes. Like or a poor,
from the
desperate
heating
old crone.
A phoenix from the heating grate.
You pull me off the heating grate. Point is, I get up.
Most of the time.
If Diana Nyad can come on yesterday and pull a jellyfish off her eye and overcome hypothermia, we can do it.
And dodge sharks.
Right? And not without a shark cage. You make so many of us laugh, blah, blah, blah. You make fun of yourself endlessly. Well, there's a lot of material. Ask the Mooks.
Mm.
But the truth is, your story is one of great courage and inspiration. You are tenacious and resilient in the way you've come back after something didn't work out as you'd hoped. Actually, correction, Dave, everything, everything has not worked. You share your story, which is something many don't have the courage to do. The authenticity of your life is why so many love you and want to be near you. Thank you for being real. Well, I fake it quite well. Thank you.
Aww.
Thanks for buying it. Sucka. Of course, I never expected you'd be able to attend our wedding. This is their wedding invitation. But it would have been an incredible honor to have you there. Well, listen, people, check the sexy liberal touring schedule before you schedule things. The only downside is you all would look so much better than me, and I could not have that.
Oh.
So that's why he scheduled it the day of Albuquerque Sexy Liberal, so we couldn't go. Oh, fine. Blah, blah, blah. We hope to see you when you're all in town for Sexy Liberal. That's in June in Minneapolis. You prove that compassion and justice aren't easy to attain in a nation that's obsessed with wealth and power, but we can at least laugh on a bit on our way to making it real. Keep doing the Lord's work. He's a pastor.
Yes.
David. Thank you, Dave. I love you too, honey bunny. Happy marriage. All right, that's it for us. I'd like to thank Chris Lavoie, Jim Ward, Travis Bone, who's very, very excited. He's, like, thrown his Rainbow Dash purse in the air several times. It's the weekend. Natan from Free Speech TV. We'll see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.